From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The sixth message in the series is called A Pilgrim's Faith and focuses upon the faith of Abraham. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Full Reliance on God. The text is Psalm 72, verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. The needy cries. What else can he do? His cry is heard of God. What else need he do? Let the needy listener take to crying at once, for this will be his wisdom. Do not cry in the ears of friends, for even if they can help you, it is only because the Lord enables them. The nearest way is to go straight to God, and let your cry come before him. Straightforward makes the best runner. Run to the Lord, and not to secondary causes. Alas, you cry, I have no friend or helper. So much the better. You can rely upon God in both capacities, as without supplies and without helpers. Make your double need your double plea. Even for temporal mercies you may wait upon God, for he careth for his children in these temporary concerns. As for spiritual necessities, which are the heaviest of all, the Lord will hear your cry, and will deliver you and supply you. O poor friend, try your rich God. O helpless one, lean on his help. He has never failed me, and I am sure he will never fail you. Come as a beggar, and God will not refuse you help. Come with no plea but his grace. Jesus is king. Will he let you perish of want? What? Did you forget this?
Shepherd will supply my need.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Among the heroes of faith memorialized in chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews, none ranks higher than Abraham, the man who was called the friend of God. In a message entitled A Pilgrim's Faith, Dr. Cairns is highlighting the characteristics of a man who was called out of a heathen land to go to a place previously unknown to him, based purely on his faith in the God who had revealed himself to him. We'll see the willingness of Abraham's faith, a picture of that effectual call which awakens a dead sinner and brings him to faith in Christ. As Abraham illustrates, this call is first of all sovereign. Then it is gracious, for it is extended to undeserving sinners. It is an honest call, for God did not hide the cost of obedience from Abraham. Now with the next portion of this message called A Pilgrim's Faith, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The Lord Jesus made it clear that if you're going to sit down and build a house, you'd be better to count the cost first. If you're going to go out to war, you'd be better to count the cost first. It's It's a foolish thing to start to build and not be able to finish. It's a foolish thing to go out to war with an inferior army and find that you're beaten on the field of battle. Better first to find the cost. Now, you're not saved by paying a price. Let's get that. You're saved because of the price that Christ paid, and no other price is necessary to save us. But nonetheless, there is, in human terms, a cost to Christian discipleship. It is a cross that saves us, the cross of Christ. But that cross brings us into fellowship. It is a fellowship of suffering. It is a fellowship of self-denial. It is a fellowship of death to the flesh. There can be no life in Christ unless there is death to the flesh. And the Lord makes this plain and clear. The Bible knows nothing of this notion that has so gripped men, who even use the very idea of the free grace of God to cloak it. It knows nothing of this idea that you just come and get saved and then make up your mind afterwards if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. Nothing of that in the Bible. God's call is honest. How can you be a Christian if you don't come after Christ? You can't. If you come after Christ, you'd be aware the devil's going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the devil's brigades are going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the world will not be your friend. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, friendship with God is enmity with the world. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. The Lord Jesus Christ makes these things very plain to us. It's an honest call. He doesn't come with blandishments. He doesn't come with some over-painted picture of how easy it will be to be a Christian. He doesn't promise that life is going to be a bed of roses, but what he does promise, and thank God, in the call, there's not only a command, but there is a promise. What he does promise is, I'll deal with your sin. I'll be your God. You'll be my child. I'll be your master. You'll be my servant. I'll be your leader, and I'll lead you all the way to glory. The Lord Jesus does give a promise that he will bless us, and he will curse anyone who curses us. For let me tell you what he promised Abraham is ultimately true spiritually of every Christian. If you have the blessing of God, you don't need to worry about the curse of the devil. If you have the blessing of God in your life, you don't need to worry about what the world thinks or what the world says. If you can put your head on your pillow and say, it's well with my soul, my sins are under the blood, my name's in the Lamb's book of life, God is my Father, Christ is my Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is my Comforter, heaven is my home country. My heart is renewed, redeemed, set free, and on its way home to glory. Man, if that's your testimony, why on earth would you have cause to worry that the world doesn't like you? Why would you worry? Even indeed that there's hardship, difficulty, problem. Because every one of these is but another opportunity for your God to prove his worth. And his victory, his power, his love and his care. And he will not fail. And anything that he allows his people to endure is but to make them more that polished shaft in his hand. It's but to cut away the rough edges of the flesh. It is but to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. Now that's his call. Now then, with this command to leave your country. That command, of course, is still part of the gospel call. There's no coming to Christ without coming away from something else. The command is to leave, and the promise is, I'll receive you, and I'll bless you, and I'll lead you, and I'll guide you, and I'll bring you to the promised land. Now, what does faith do? Here's the willingness of faith. Faith subjects our will to the revealed will of God. People wonder, do I have faith? An awful lot of people are wondering, well, do I have enough faith? That's one of the devil's masterpieces. Do I have enough faith to save me? How much faith does it take to save the soul? Or, to put it better, to receive God's salvation? How much faith does it take? Do you ever notice that the Bible never once addresses that question? Never once. It is not the amount of faith, it is the existence of faith that the Bible is emphasizing. Now then, have I enough faith? If you have faith, you've got enough faith. Have I true faith? Man, that's another big question people ask. Have I true faith? Now, I understand the honesty of such an inquiry. The old Puritan theologians talked about what I've termed before historical faith, or sometimes they called it dogmatic faith. That is a belief in the doctrines of the Bible. But that doesn't save you. You can believe every doctrine in the Bible and perish. The devil believes those doctrines. He knows they're true. Doesn't save him. The Pharisees believed them. Didn't save them either. It wasn't a doctrine in the book that Saul of Tarsus hadn't believed already, long before he was saved. Historical or dogmatic faith doesn't see it. Then there's what the old Puritans used to call temporary faith. As such a belief as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in his parable of the seed falling into the four kinds of ground. There was some that sprung up forthwith but had no root. Temporary faith. The trouble with those descriptions is, you see, that they're not speaking of faith at all. They're speaking of things that people may want to call faith, or may persuade themselves for a while to be faith, but they're not faith at all. Belief in the doctrines of the Bible is not faith. Intellectual assent is not faith. An emotional response to the gospel in itself is not faith. What is faith then? See it clearly in the case of Abraham. Yes, there will be an intellectual assent. Yes, there will be an emotional response. But the essence of faith is this, that it subjects our will to the revealed will of God. Where your heart and your will are brought to the place of acknowledging God's will in salvation and giving up everything else but God's will in salvation, where your heart and your will are brought to the place of embracing God's will and saying, Lord, I receive simply and honestly your revealed will for my life and my salvation in Jesus Christ, then you have faith. It's as simple as that. We so often talk about simple faith, and I know that drives some people up the walls because they find faith is far from simple. But at the end of the day, it is simple. It subjects our will to Christ. When a soul has given up hope in all but Christ and abandons itself solely and totally to the merits of God's dear Son, that soul has saving faith. That's the willingness of faith. Very quickly, the walk of faith. Abraham obeyed the call and he went forth. Now, I've spent too long already on the first point, so here I have to do what many of you have become used to me doing and telescope the rest somewhat. Get it in. You notice immediately that obedience is not a mere matter of words or intentions. I don't suppose there's one person here intends to go to hell, but I'm not at all hopeful that there's nobody here who's actually well on the way to hell. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 21, 28 to 30 tells the parable of the man whose two sons were told to get out and go work in the vineyard. And one said, "Sir, I go." But he never did go. The other said, "I won't go," but afterward repented and went. A simple illustration. Faith is not just a matter of words, and the obedience of faith is not just a matter of intentions. There are people who say, "I intend to come to Christ. I have been at the deathbed of people who responded every time I ever gave them the gospel. I intend to come to Christ. I have every purpose to come to Christ. I'm going to come to Christ, but it's always in the future. And I've seen people die, and as far as any human judgment could be formed, go out into the darkness of hell with the intention of coming to Christ and going to heaven." Not enough to say, "I'm going to come." Man, you should come. It's not enough to say, "I intend to be saved." Man, before that intention comes to pass, you could already be in outer darkness. You need to come in obedience to the call of God. Not tomorrow, but today. Not just today, but now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. For this moment is the only moment you can ever be sure you have the life and opportunity to come to Christ. It's not just a matter of intentions. Faith comes to Christ. That's the start of a walk with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.